a year, we all got hooked on to TikTok. Just look at the timeline. 2018 mid, it got bought over by Dance. It was renamed as TikTok. 2019 end, we all were spending good 15, 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes on TikTok. And we were getting TikTok videos in our WhatsApp inboxes. Now, what happened during that year? What happened with Musical.ly and TikTok is when they came into India, they had an experience of US market. Okay, in US market, they saw that TikTok got famous because of college-going girls or school-going girls. Okay, the girls used to use that platform to express themselves, create entertaining videos for 30 and 60 seconds. They came into India and they got hold of a lot of celebrities. And they said, we'll pay you a lot of money, create video for us. I think Shraddha and all these amazing actresses were there. All of them created some videos. It didn't take off. They realized that these creators are already making their content on Bollywood movies. Then there was an OTT. Then there was a YouTube. Then there was already an Instagram. And then there were a couple of other things that they were doing, right? Why will they do a 30 or a 60 second video and do it consistently every day so as to build an audience on TikTok? Okay. These guys went back to the drawing board. They said, we have to make the next 1 million creators if we have to make big in India. Okay. TikTok worked nonstop for 1.5 years, close to 500 days, making tools every day, identifying people in smaller towns, giving them the right technique, giving them the right reason to become what we know TikTokers. And that transformed that business so much that they ended up having 225 million installs. There was no VC, there was no guy who in India who was not addicted to it to a certain extent. If you are on mobile, you would perhaps have TikTok, right? What TikTok did is exactly what needs to happen in game streaming.
Hello and welcome to the Indian Dream Project. Today, we're going to be talking about all things game streaming and esports. It's a hot new trend that has emerged over the last few years. Let's look at some numbers to understand the scale. YouTube and Twitch are the most popular global game streaming platforms. YouTube has over 40 million active game channels. Twitch, on the other hand, has 9 million active game channels. On an average, there are 2.8 million people watching a game stream on Twitch at the same time. Twitch also had a revenue of $2.3 billion in 2020, primarily from game streaming. Mind-boggling numbers, if you ask me. To learn more about this industry, we have Piyush Kumar, co-founder of Router, a game streaming app that has made a mark in the industry over the last year. When I first came across Piyush on Twitter, my thought was, why would somebody want to compete with the might of YouTube and Twitch? Over the next few weeks, I would go on to read Piyush's tweets on the traction they were seeing at Router, and that got me curious about the world of game streaming. Router started out as a fan engagement platform for live sports and pivoted to game streaming in early 2020s. In August 2021, Router had 8.5 million monthly active users and 10% of those people were creating gaming content on the platform. To dig deeper into the world of streaming, we have Piyush today to talk to us about why they decided to pivot, why is game streaming getting popular, Router's monetization experiments, and honestly answering that one question that we all have, why do people watch other people play games? Piyush answers this question in detail and you would love his response. Before we go to the episode, I have a request for you. We've been struggling with podcast distribution and getting the Indian Dream to new people. You can help us by following us on Spotify so that the algorithms work for us, or by sharing the podcast with your friends. If you like what we do, please help us reach more people. With that, let's jump to the episode. Piyush, very, very excited to have you on the show. Very excited to talk about the topic of game streaming and esports. This is something that every kid in India sort of loves the gaming industry and has been a part of it. So very keen to see how is the industry moving. But let's start back in 2015-16. Game streaming is not something that you started out with. You were a marketing manager at Swatch Group, right? Then you jumped into something that was completely different. Tell me the thesis on what was going on in your head, on what were you trying to build, and you know, the next 3-4 years, very quickly before the pivot happened.
No, firstly, thanks so much. Very, very excited to be here. Siddharth and Sahil, I think, have been following your podcast for a very, very long time. And I was just waiting for a day when I'll get a call or one of you will reach out and say, let's just do it. So here I am. I mean, more than anything else, I think it's an excellent opportunity to talk to you guys. So yeah, I mean, we'll come to game streaming and esports. Very excited. I mean, imagine somebody at my age is very excited about gaming and esports, which is being played by a far younger audience. But it didn't start right from here. It started back in 2015 when I was right in the middle of a phase in life where I was doing quite okay in a corporate job working with the biggest luxury company in the world. But completely taken aback or completely excited with the way startup industry was moving in India. There was so much changing around us, from literally picking up a phone and ordering food to ordering everything on a phone, you know, ordering through e-commerce platforms, ordering your cab and you know, getting it done. So I was very excited about how things were happening. And the key thesis for Router back then in 2015 and something that actually came out in 2016 as an MVP and eventual product was that I wanted to build a technology platform that will connect people. In as simple words, it was basically the idea was to, you know, let technology connect people, build communities, and then monetize them. That's how it started. The only change was that gaming was a very different industry back then. So we started with sports, and we actually used sports to learn and do whatever, all kind of things in the first 3.5 years.
So you built a community, from what I was reading, you built a community around sports engagement, right? So different kinds of games, football games, cricket games that happen. And this is something that I've also felt, and it's now become a behavior of sorts, which is when I'm watching a Manchester United football game, I'm also on a group on WhatsApp with a bunch of my friends who are United fans, right? So I'm engaging with them while watching the game. And this is the broader thesis of that, where you sort of engage with the larger fan base. But one of the things that I was reading, which is in hindsight, I guess it's intuitive, is all your engagement is then driven by these big games, right? Driven by games that are playing. And then the rest of the times, the engagement sort of drops off and it's hard to get people back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You said it exactly right. So our entire thesis was the fact that nothing in the world connects people more than smoking, number one. If you see anywhere, smokers find a place on its own, with all disclaimer and all, I'm not promoting anything. I'm just saying it does. And the second thing that connects people across the world is sports. There is a sports match going on, you talk about it, and people get to know each other, right? So that was the entire thesis. And what we wanted to do was to be that enabler of people discovering other fans of similar interest within their neighborhood, within their workplaces, within their colleges, etc. And as you rightly said, the entire moment of truth was live matches. I mean, throughout our stay within the sports ecosystem, we wanted to redefine the way people watch live sports. We said it's boring to sit alone and do it, and you are no longer in a hostel where 10 people are sitting together and watching it. Can there be an app? Can there be something that can make your live experience better by playing with each other, doing whatever? And that's what we did pretty well, right? And eventually, we also built something very interesting. We built multiple features through which we started to give people a voice through live audio and video. So what you see of Clubhouse right now, we actually did it back in 2019 during the Cricket World Cup and during the IPL, where we allowed people to go live with audio and video and talk about the build-up to the match, talk about the fantasy teams they're going to create, maybe do quizzing while you're watching the match, etc. And all of it was a great time we had while we were building the sports product.
I just want to share a funny story over here. You know, when you talked about how people come together around sports, how it's a great way to connect people. So my wife and I went to school together. And back in 2006, when we were in like 10th or 11th standard, we were watching the World Cup that was happening then. And it was the Italy and France World Cup. And we were both awake at 2 a.m. On the phone, talking to each other, watching Zidane headbutt that guy, and then the penalty shootout, and watching France lose, and all of that. And this is back in 2006. And today, now that we are married, it is still, I consider it as one of the defining moments of our relationship. It was something that we experienced together, that shock of everything and happening. But yeah, what you're saying is right. Like, we felt so connected at that moment. It's a experience that we had together. And when people have these experiences together, it really helps bring people together, like you said. But obviously, you guys were building this community of people who are interested in sports. You guys were doing all of that. And it makes sense as a thesis. But what was it that didn't end up working out at that time? And why did you eventually have to pivot from live sports, live, I guess, physical sports to esports?
So I'll tell you, I mean, see, sports, being a sports fan comes first to me, then a gamer. I'll be very honest, because sports is something. I still play sports every day, by the way. I play 1 hour every day between the 3 sports that I usually play.
Which ones are they?
Badminton, squash, tennis. Between the three, I'm playing every day. It's never been a month where I'm not clocking 25 playing days out of 30 days or 31 days.
Your right shoulder is going to be really strong, man. All of those sports are all about shoulder strength.
So wrists and shoulders both. So tennis is more shoulders, but the other two are wrists quite a lot. So, getting back to that. So sports is a great field, right? There's a lot of passion. I think in India, the real money gaming companies have shown how you can make or how you can monetize the sports audience, right? They went ahead and did it. All credit to Hirsch, all credit to Sai, all credit to each and everyone who built different real money gaming platforms. But we were in the field of content, right? And content is something where we want to redefine the content beyond live matches. By live matches, I mean content beyond Hotstar or content beyond the Star Sports. We really believe CricBuzz is an app we all love. Cricinfo is an app we all probably have grown up, following for the commentary. But both of them have not redefined the market. If you look at it from a myopic, if you look at it from a zoomed out angle, it's the same product since perhaps the last decade, right? And we really wanted to bring in that change. And we were on to something. We believe that you can only make that change when community, contributes to content and not the other way. The problem was that, it's in India, sports is cricket, right? And within cricket, it's the Indian cricket team. Whenever they are playing, there's a lot of hype around it. And whenever there's an IPL, there is a lot of hype around it. But beyond those, I would say, maybe 125, 150 odd playing days, there is nothing much which is happening. So any product which is building something around sports faces that issue of retention. And something as first-time entrepreneurs, Dipesh and me learned very early in our journey is that the most important metric of a tech product or a B2C product is not actually growth, and is growth and is monetization. But between the two, the journey from a growth to monetization happens through retention. And if the retention of the product is not there, there is no way you can make it into a big product or a large industry, right? And that is where sports was hurting us a lot. We used to spend money, get users, they used to just bounce off as soon as the final got over or something like that. And very rarely they were getting connected through that. So we realized that this is one problem which will never allow us to build a very strong retention and therefore much stronger LTV, which is called lifetime value of the user. And then we spotted gaming. We thought it is closest to what we were building in terms of behavior. And then there was a right time to get into the industry. And that's how we sort of, pivoted into it. I'm happy to talk about it. But if there is any question around this, I'm happy to, talk more about sports. But largely, it was the lesson of retention, which is the most important one for us.
Makes complete sense. Now let's talk about the gaming world itself, right? One of the biggest industries, and it, as a kid, when you're, when you're playing the game, you have that innocence of not figuring out how big is the industry behind it. But over a period of time, I've realized the gaming industry is globally, it's some $160 billion or something like that, right? And the newer addition is the game streaming and everything that's happening around game streaming. I was looking at some data. I think last year globally there were 100 billion watch time hours. There were over 40 million active gaming channels, 80,000 YouTube gaming creators hitting 1 million subscribers. So these are crazy numbers. But nobody was doing this out of India, right? Because at least from an outsider, as somebody who's not on the ground, my thought process is going to be, Twitch and YouTube have basically cornered the market. There is no more opportunity to be had. Why would you get into game streaming, right? So help us answer that question.
No, so I think firstly, let's touch upon the point on gaming. I think gaming is one thing which is completely taking over the world. Okay, I say this and I think there is an observation if you look around. Just look around, okay, right? From perhaps your parents who are playing some kind of a game. We ourselves are playing different kind of games. Our helps are playing different kind of games. Our kids are playing different kind of games. Gaming is taking over the entire, user behavior in India. Okay, and it has come down from the rest of the world where gaming was already big. The key difference in India is that Indians have adopted to mobile gaming much faster than anywhere else. Right. So through the better part of last decade, we were into casual gaming. We were into mid-core gaming. Okay, so Nazara did a lot of work. I mean, huge credit to what those guys, Nitin and Manish, did. And then of course, there are different people who played different games. But the key change happened when India got its first first-person shooter game in the form of PUBG. So PUBG came and revolutionized everything, right? I still remember in 2018, I started to hear about PUBG. In 2019, I spoke with few people, including people in my company, and we said, and everybody said, this is once in a generation game, because it was so well done up. And everybody said, it's not something that just came out of anywhere. People would have perhaps spent a lot of time. So right from an MS Dhoni to everybody around us are playing it. And that was a time in 2019, we were observing it from the outside of the gaming industry. And we said, it's going to change the way Indians work or Indians live their life. Can we be a part of it? Can we apply each and everything that we have learned over the last 3.5 years and convert that into a gaming sort of a thing? And that is where we decided to... So then we did our research on what kind of content. So our idea was very clear. We cannot make games. We cannot get into real money gaming, which means we cannot get into the Dream 11 MPL space. And we are also not publishers of the game. So what we can do, we have learned how to build content. So we'll do content. Now, within content in streaming, the videos don't work. Streaming is 85% of the content in gaming. So we said, whenever is the right time, we'll perhaps do that experiment, because we were already building streaming technology while we were a sports product. We were already working with companies like Agora, Akamai, AWS, and we had built a very nice sort of a tech. We are always a tech-first company. So that is how it happened. And frankly, it was a part of a plan sometime in 2020. We said, we'll do this. Then on March 5th, I remember the first time we saw India-South Africa series getting cancelled. South Africa was in India. They were supposed to play, I think, the first or the second ODI. If I'm not wrong, it was in Lucknow. And it got cancelled. And for the first time, we realized something is happening. Within 20 days, we saw IPL getting cancelled, right? And we said, this is going to be a completely different world. We had no idea what Corona will do or what the virus will do to the world. But clearly, sports is going to take a backseat. We said, immediately, let's get on to build the tech. Let's see if we can use this time to try our hand in game streaming, and we'll take it up from there. And it's been a history from there. I mean, honestly, I can tell you that the last 15 to almost 16 months in our life has been the greatest learning experience and perhaps the best growth journey we have had as a product and as entrepreneurs.
So this journey on game streaming. Now, I want to understand two things, and this is something that I've always asked myself about the broader industry and about my own behavior, which is, why do people watch other people play games, right? And I've done that during the lockdown, where I've watched other people play various games, Fall Guys, there was another imposter game. I've seen groups of people play a game, which in my mind, I still can't rationalize, why am I doing this? But it's good content for some reason, right? So because you're in this space, tell us, what is the key drivers behind why game streaming became so huge across the globe, and what's happening in the Indian space?
So couple of things. So firstly, I think in the Indian space, gaming is being completely driven by the first person shooter category. So games like PUBG, which is now BGMI, Free Fire, Call of Duty, Valorant is a great PC game. It's the number one PC game in India. Among Us, all these games are completely taken over our world, right? And they all come under the one category. Now, let's address the first question. I had the same question when we were doing the thesis on gaming back in 2019. I was like, why do people watch games? But then I sat on YouTube, sat on Twitch, and I just started to see it, and I realized it's quite amazing. Then we spoke with, if I'm not wrong, we did a dipstick of more than 2,000 people during that time, trying to understand what is the behavior behind it. So here are a few things. Number one, it's an adrenaline rush. Okay. There are very few things in life which you have the privilege to get live in real time when you want to consume it. If I want to consume sports at 1 o'clock in the night and say I follow 5 sports, I may still not get a live match, right? Even if I have a tennis TV subscription where I get all the tennis matches across the world, right? Gaming is one thing that allows you to watch a thing being played live or something happening in real time at any point in time. Okay, the adrenaline rush of something like that is unparalleled. Okay, the fact that there is somebody in the world who is doing something, playing and competing at a real time, and he's probably talking about it, and you're watching him play, and you can interact with that person. So that's one.
The fact that it's not scripted, the fact that even the person playing it doesn't know what's going to happen next, adds on to the entire like element. That's why sports is so sort of gives you that rush. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know who's going to win because it's not scripted.
Correct. Correct. Exactly. Gaming is like that. You're playing the same game day in and day out. You're probably playing the same game 10 hours in a day. Yet every moment will be different. You cannot just believe that everything will be same. I mean, even if you remember, you know, if you remember, I grew up playing stick cricket. I grew up playing FIFA. A lot of times there is still a bit of a repetitive action over there. You know, sometimes you'll feel that this shot I've played before. But very rarely in a first-person shooter category, you'll come across something like that. So it's the most authentic live experience you can get in the world, period. I don't think there is anything in the world that can replace it. And the fact that it is available 24/7 in millions of channels across the globe, nothing can substitute that. No music, no sports, nothing can substitute that.
And I also think one more thing is that these sports are also accessible to anyone to play themselves. Because like, let's say a football or a cricket in a stadium setting, there are only a very few elite people who will ever do that. But playing PUBG or Fortnite or whatever in the setting of the universe, literally everybody in India is actually doing it. Because I recently went for a trek, and I went to one of those shacks on the side of the trek because it was raining really hard, to get some chai. And the guy in that shack was playing PUBG. This is in the middle of a trek in Maharashtra. I have a friend who does a lot of work with villages to help uplift them. And he says that all the kids in the village, they go climb the tree and then they go to the top to try to get the best network to play PUBG. So it's something that everybody can do, and therefore they can relate to it, and therefore they want to watch it because these are things that they themselves have done and can do.
Yeah, so that's one. That's one. And this is research plus the last 16 months, right? We've been building it. The second thing is exactly what Sahil was just mentioning. The fact that if I love Virat Kohli, I love Sachin Tendulkar, right? How many times can I meet him in life? You know, how many times can I interact with him? Can I see him live in a Zoom call? Very rarely. There's no chance, right? I've been a Tendulkar fan forever in my life. I think I met him just once. That too, I was privileged because I was in a company and we were doing something with him. Gaming allows you to do that day in and day out. You love this guy. You love his entertainment. You love the way he talks. You love the way you play. Go and watch him every day. That guy is gonna come in for 2 hours, 3 hours and do that. And if you're lucky enough, which most of the people are in ways, you can probably play with him. You can be on the same audio with that guy, right? So the entire relationship between a creator and a viewer is closest in gaming, right? We, for example, have a feature called Fan Leaderboard. Okay, not trying to interject a feature, but the point here is, in Fan Leaderboard, a creator can actually create his own leaderboard of fans. Okay, so I can say I'm going live. I'll give 10,000 coins to the top viewers of my stream. And there is an algorithm that automatically looks after those viewers and gets them into a ranking, and the coins get distributed. So that is the second thing, that it brings you closer to your idol, to whosoever you look up to. Third is, there is a lot of interaction between the two, right? I can shout Virat from a stadium, or I can shout Virat from a Hotstar. I can do whatever. Here, you can send that guy a gift and he'll see it. If you say something to him, he will read it back to you. If you gift him 10 bucks or if you gift him something for 100 bucks, he will acknowledge that, thanks Piyush for gifting me and being my big fan. So that is the other thing. The third or the fourth thing is the learning part. The best way to learn games is to follow your favorite streamer, because these guys are really good. They have cracked how to play. There are a lot of hacks in gaming, and you can only learn. I still learn games by following people, right? So when you follow them, you get to learn. And therefore, streaming is perhaps one of the opportunities which is very widely supported by publishers. You know, every publisher, every game publisher across the world supports streaming because this is one of the biggest growth hacks, right? A big guy is playing a game, millions of people or hundreds of people are watching him, is an automatic marketing, right? They don't need to do anything. People would just go ahead and download, right? That's the last thing. And the last thing is the community part, where I started with when I said we started with 2015. The community of people, streaming is a very creator. You click on the follow button, you follow. Every time it goes live, you get to know about it. You send him something, you can direct message him, etc. That community part is very, very huge in this. These are few reasons why people are hugely into game streaming. And trust me, the relationship will only get better with more accessibility, with more technology that all companies like us, Loco, you know, YouTube, which all of us that we do for the community will only make it better.
Completely agreed. Now, I want to get to the point where, again, all of this makes perfect sense. There's an opportunity, but
the biggest creators are on YouTube already, right? The biggest global creators are on Twitch already. The Indian market was sort of looked like, at least from the outside, cornered by YouTube, because every creator, every big gamer, model, or you know, the famous PUBG players were all on YouTube. Saying that I'm going to go build a streaming platform, where was that conviction coming from? Where did you see that gap where you saw, okay, let's build something here?
Yeah, so this great question, and this is and we are here by answering this question to a lot of people, and I think a lot of people are getting convinced on what we are trying to build. I'll tell you a story before this, okay? And let's start with that story. It's one of my favorite stories. More than stories, it's one of my favorite learning lessons in Indian tech industry, particularly in Indian content industry. Back in 2018, there was an app that came into our life, which was called Musical.ly. Right, you would have remembered there are people who suddenly started to do weird things, right? They were singing songs, they were doing 30-second, 60-second videos. And initially, a lot of people, my CPO, we had a product head called Manish. He used to do this, okay? He was a big Bollywood guy. Bollywood as in love for Bollywood. And he used to do these crazy things. In his house, he'll get into a corner, do some acting, and it used to come out, right? And then it got bought over by TikTok, right? And then within a year, we all got hooked on to TikTok. Just look at the timeline. 2018 mid, it got bought over by Dance. It was renamed as TikTok. 2019 end, we all were spending good 15, 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes on TikTok. Okay. And we were getting TikTok videos in our WhatsApp inboxes. Okay. Now, what happened during that year? What happened with Musical.ly and TikTok is when they came into India, they had an experience of US market. Okay. In US market, they saw that TikTok got famous because of college going girls or school going girls. Okay. The girls used to use that platform to express themselves, create entertaining videos for 30 and 60 seconds. They came into India and they got hold of a lot of celebrities. Okay. A lot of Bollywood people, a lot of YouTubers, a lot of YouTubers to a certain extent, music guys. And they said, we'll pay you a lot of money, create video for us. So they must have come in. People would have said, yahan pe, you know, the Bollywood guys are big, you know, I think Shraddha and all these amazing actresses were there. All of them created some videos. It didn't take off. Okay. They realized that these creators are already making their content on Bollywood movies. Then there was an OTT. Then there was a YouTube. Then there was already an Instagram. And then there were a couple of other things that they were doing, right? Why will they do a 30 or a 60 second video and do it consistently every day so as to build an audience on TikTok? Okay. These guys went back to the drawing board. They said, we have to make the next 1 million creators if we have to make big in India. Okay. TikTok worked nonstop for 1.5 years, close to 500 days, making tools every day, identifying people in smaller towns, giving them the right technique, giving them the right reason to become what we know TikTokers. And that transformed that business so much that they ended up having 225 million installs. There was no VC, there was no guy who in India who was not addicted to it to a certain extent. If you are on mobile, you would perhaps have TikTok, right? What TikTok did is exactly what needs to happen in game streaming. You are absolutely right that globally, a lot of creators are on Twitch. The top creators are on Twitch. And even the bigger community is on Twitch. So the entire PC and streaming or the console streaming market is built very well by Twitch. In India, YouTube had the benefit. YouTube did go ahead and make it, but YouTube had the benefit because it was the only platform where people could stream or stream longer content. So the first top 50 creators got built on YouTube. Nothing to take away from that. But my point over here is, and exactly what I agree with it, nobody owns them except YouTube. These guys are never going to leave YouTube and say, I will ditch that audience and come on Router or wherever and I'll build it. We all know that. We knew it from day one. We said we are not going to make our product depending on these 50 guys. We will make our product by making the next 50,000 creators and making the next 100,000 creators. And perhaps our goal is to make next 1 million creators. So the opportunity in India was that exactly the way TikTok transformed the short form video industry. And when it got banned, it gave birth to 4 unicorns. In India, everybody was playing and watching gaming. You know, these 50 people are not going to... No industry is built by 50 people. Okay, look at what Bollywood was 30 years back, 40 years back. They were 20 actors who were doing whatever. Then came a wave where so many different actors, so many different production houses came, and look at where Bollywood is right now. Same with music, right? Same is with gaming. The industry will only evolve the content industry of gaming will only evolve once we see 100,000 creators and perhaps 1 million creators. We saw that as a gap. We realized that will YouTube ever get down to a level where they'll say, you have 10,000 followers on YouTube, let me help you build it to 100,000 and eventually to 1 million creators. No. It is a platform that grows on itself. They have put 20 years behind it, right? They will not have a community team which is going to do it. If I was to go and stream on YouTube right now, I cannot stream if I don't have 1,000 subscribers. I'm talking about myself. Now, imagine the effort it takes to get to 1,000 subscribers. So what will I do? I go and take another tool where I will go and stream from there to YouTube, then hope to build an audience over there. It's a long process. We are making that process easy. We are saying that today we are building the next wave of creators who will build their base for the first time on Router. And subsequently, they'll have that base, and that is the market. So the market, a very long answer to your short question, but the opportunity is how the market will evolve beyond those 50, 70, 100 creators. That's what an Indian platform can do. And that is what Router is here to do.
That makes complete sense, right? And the beautiful part about this answer is in the last 1.5 years, you've gone on and proved this thesis. Because if you look at some of the numbers, 8.5 million MAUs in August. Yeah, monthly active users in August. 800,000 people daily active users in August, right? Those are the numbers that I have. You've gone on to prove that thesis that you're talking about to a large extent. I'm sure the opportunity is much, much, much bigger. But you've shown the early 0 to 1 of it, right? Now tell me, it's thesis-wise, it's spot on. But how do you go on to actually do it? Like, do you create special kind of tools that work for these people? I know something that you did in, I was reading this regional content, right? Some Tamil sort of gamer who was doing regional content in Tamil got really famous. And so what are some of the things that you think you did to make this happen? Like, give us top 2-3 things.
Yeah. So I'll tell you how we look at gaming content in general. So imagine a pyramid. Okay. Just divide that pyramid into 3 parts. Okay. The top of the pyramid, I'll go to the top of the pyramid first. The top of the pyramid is the top guys. Okay. So all the top YouTube creators, we also have a lot of them. Okay. We have signed them. They work with us. They give us 90 hours, 60 hours a month. And those are top creators. Okay. Or creators who have gone on to build a good base on Router and are sitting on the top of the pyramid. So that's the premium. So that's the most premium exclusive content. The other part of premium exclusive content is esports content. We have conducted multiple esports tournaments. We are hosting multiple esports tournaments being conducted by other people. That is the other thing. And then we are making multiple gaming IPs. Okay, so we have done something called Router Streamer Warzone, where we get an opportunity to 2-3 streamers to jam every day, etc. So we are creating multiple gaming IPs. But that is the part which is, I would say, easier part. And that is the part that requires a different kind of a money. And that is the part for which we have an industry which is already built in. Okay. The second part, or rather, let's start from the bottom now. Now, the bottom of the pyramid is volume of content. Okay. How do we make a lot of people? Like, I remember I met one of the Chinese investors, and there was a long meeting, and he left me with one thing which I'll never forget. He said, the only way to succeed in content business is to make a lot of content. You cannot say that 100 videos or 1,000 videos or 1 million videos is enough. You'll have to run into millions to make that the damn thing work, right? That is how TikTok did well, because it created millions of videos. Then it used those millions of videos and data points to personalize it for us. And the reason we are hooked on to any content platform around, because they have personalized, they know exactly what we want to watch. And they will show it to you within 10 seconds. And that will ensure you never leave them. Okay. But for you to get into the personalization, you have to start from the millions of, the number has to be million and onwards. Okay. So what we did at the bottom of the pyramid is we said nobody in India is giving the simplest of tools for people to learn streaming and do streaming. Okay. The first thing we invested is we made streaming as easy as uploading a picture on Instagram. Anybody who downloads Router app can go ahead and stream with the best of the features in the market. Nobody has features as good as us in terms of different features that a streamer typically requires. And we allow everybody to stream. The result of which is 18% of people who download Router app actually end up creating content. So the number of unique people in the month of August that you're referring to who actually created content is 900,000. Close to 1 million people are creating content on Router month on month. That's number one. So that forms the bottom of the pyramid. So we are getting a lot of people to experience it. Now, the second thing that we have to do is when they come live, can we give them 5 users, 10 users, 5 viewers, 10 viewers, 100 viewers, so as to they learn, right? And that is the one. In the middle of the pyramid, what we did is we did exactly what I told you in the last answer, that we created a creator program. Okay, we said we'll create a community team of 20 people. They would be scout for each and every creator on YouTube, Facebook, any other app where he has maybe 100, 200,000, 10,000 followers, but he's not able to grow. Can we get them to come on Router and can we help them grow their user base over here? Okay, so we started a streaming creator program. We set certain criteria that you need to do 50 hours of streaming. You need to get certain likes, followers, etc. Then you become a part of a creator program. We'll pay you from day one. Okay, depending on what you do. And that has allowed, so between the UGC and between the middle, between the creator program, 4.3% of people who create content on Router actually make money. Okay, this is up from 2.8% at the beginning of the year. And our goal is to make it closer to 10% over the next 1 year. So we are also creating that community through which we want to ensure more and more people who are creating content on Router actually get paid in real money and in real cash. And that is how we do it. So this is how we did it. We created a tool. We created a creator program. We created a team which identified people and they had, you know, handheld all these guys to become creators and become a part of this industry.
You know, Piyush, there are two things that you've spoken about today that really appealed back to my 13-year-old self. Number one is the fact that you work with Swatch. My 12-year-old self would be like, oh my God, Swatch, give me all the Swatches you have. Secondly, being paid to play games for 50 hours, I guess, is that a month or per week that you are asking them to stream?
No, so 50 hours, 56 hours. So it depends. Like for a new creator, it goes up to 120 hours a month.
Wow.
Or maybe 90 hours a month and then 50 hours. Yeah, so this is how they do it. But yeah, they get paid to play and to stream. You're right.
So Piyush, one of the things that you mentioned caught the Marwari in me, right? Like where is the money coming from in this, right? When you say we pay these creators, how are you making money? How is the industry monetized in general? Why did Twitch become so big? Tell us something about the monetization of this space.
Yeah, so firstly, Twitch and YouTube became big. YouTube, because YouTube has a great, great advertising network, right? YouTube is Google. They know how to monetize everything in the world and they did it pretty well. Also, YouTube also did well because they have something called Super Chat that allows people to gift to their streamers and they could have done it. But if you look at how Twitch grew, if you look at how Huya and Douyu in China grew, the large part of money that these successful streaming platforms have made is actually from user revenue, okay? So few of them have different subscription service through which you get a certain access to streamers through which you can do it. But a large part of it is there's a huge gifting economy which works between the viewer and the streamer and they take a certain cut and through which they are essentially able to do it. So it is advertising, it is user monetization that comes through the subscription or gifting and that is how these industries are run. And you'll be like, you can't even imagine how much they're making anything between $1 billion to up to $5 to $8 billion in revenue per year. It's crazy amount of money that they're making. And this is when mobile streaming has just sort of entered the market, maybe a couple of years back. If mobile streaming can be monetized at the same level, the way they are monetized in the last 4, 5, maybe 10 years, Twitch's valuation, it's an Amazon owned company. If you look at Twitch's valuation, it should be crazy by now with the kind of things that they're doing because they're also into music and IRL. Coming back to Router, for us, see, we always believe that if you have a tech product, if it can be monetized, it should be monetized. I am not from the school of thought which says that we will monetize tomorrow or we'll monetize next year. Let's first do the growth. It never helps. Every investor who's investing money in a company would want to see monetization, and it is our duty, and it is something that we should try. I mean, I am very proud to say that even when we were just maybe 8-10 months old company back in 2017, we had not figured out product. We still had ways in which we used to make sometimes 20,000 rupees, 80,000 rupees, 1 lakh rupees, and maybe sometimes 10 or 20 lakh rupees. Okay, I'm talking about 2017, 18, 19. Every year, Router has made money, even when our product wasn't right there.
Before you go on, I just have a small sort of appreciation. I think this is what a lot of companies, because the few of the companies in the past have been able to play that game of burn money for years and eventually become big platforms. This school of thought of growing, burning money first and figuring out revenue later can actually be extremely detrimental for a lot of companies. The fact is, you have to find product market fit along with monetization, right? Give something for free and call that, hey, we're building a business. No, you're not building a business. You've built a utility. Have you built a business? Maybe, maybe not, right? The fact that you've done it from having that perspective, I think changes it where go after revenue, do experiments, figure it out, because it's an iterative process to figure it out.
Yeah, no, I'll be very honest. We did it one because we believed that one should make money, right? I wasn't a 20-year-old who became an entrepreneur. I was actually a 34, 35-year-old when I became an entrepreneur. I realized that money is important. Second, we had to do it because we were not one of those companies which had a dream run of raising money, right? We always had to fight and get the right investors. We got the right investors. They backed us. But there were a few months where the revenue helped us survive. Okay, and that is a thing that which you cannot take away. Also, I believe that few people I have learned and a lot of people talk about it, that let's first do growth. We will then build retention, when we'll then do monetization. I think this is not fair. Okay, not fair on anybody, not on yourself, not on everybody else. I think you should get growth, and on the way you should build retention and also build monetization. Okay. Something that it's not easy at all. It's very difficult. Okay. A lot of people will say it is not the best thing to do, but I believe it should be done in parallel. And we need to put ourselves under pressure to build this. Now, coming back to monetization. So what happened is back in last year, so we were doing okay. We figured we have hit something nice. There is a very decent product market fit. And we were talking to a few investors. We opened up and we said, let's reach out to investors globally. And we realized that one of the things that people had a question in their mind was, how will you monetize? People know India has millions of users for anything, any business, right? They love this fact about India, that they can come here and get to 100 million users in no time. But a lot of people asked us that in this industry that you're getting into, people have monetized it. Can you do it? Okay. And they didn't say that if you don't do it, we'll not fund you. They basically said, can you do it? If you do it, it will be very good for us, because we can learn through you how to go get into a market like India. Now, for us, there was one thing which we really were excited about. Both PUBG, Free Fire, all these games are making money. Okay, the games before the first-person shooter categories were not able to monetize. It's a fact, which is why people had to do multiple B2B deals. They had to do deals with, you know, phone manufacturers saying, if you put my game on your pre-burn and your phone, will pay you something, or you'll get paid, or whatever it is, right? Advertising wasn't the right way to do it. You finish a game and then they show you a video ad, and that gets monetized. But PUBG, Free Fire, all these games created that in-app purchase model. And by the time, I think last year when we were starting in game streaming, we looked at a few numbers and we realized that PUBG or Free Fire, they were making about $15-$20 a month. Okay, which is very decent money, right? You're making 100 crores plus revenue, which means somebody is there. Somebody is paying money. So aisa hai ki is audience ke paas, there is some money that they have, right? So that was first. And the second was that we wanted to do this. So we started with monetization last year. We said, what is the first thing? Advertising. No problems. We'll never put interstitials. We'll not put anything that will disturb the experience. But let's maybe put native ads and see how it works. We got a few brands. We started to do with it. Then in early last year, one thing that we saw was very interesting. We said, in India, the digital economy is changing quite a bit. Okay. 30 unicorns. Okay. Out of which I think 27 would be B2C products. Okay. Which means they are apps, right? When a company becomes a unicorn or when people raise tons of money in India, or sunicorns or whatever they're calling, what is one thing that they will have to go for without which they can't make revenue or do anything? Growth, right? Now, when they are going for growth, they are looking at multiple avenues through which they can get downloads, right? So getting downloads in India is the most important metric for any entrepreneur who's into a B2C product, who has an app-based business, right? Now, what is the way that people, 4 years back when we were an app, how were you used to get downloads? Facebook and Google. That's the only way you can get downloads, right? But a lot of things have opened up over the last couple of years, and we learned from them. What we realize is we have an audience which is pretty unique. 12 to 24 years old are our 80% audience. Very few platforms have these set of people. Okay. But there are a lot of industries who are going after these people. EdTech is completely built around it. Lots of different digital services are built around it. Exactly. FinTech, crypto, the highest adoption is in the young age, right? Cryptos are not getting adopted beyond 25. It's the age before that. And we went to brands and they said, yeah, we'll do saliency campaign and display campaigns, but all of us want performance. So we said, let's make performance our buzzword. What it means is, whether it is an app download or a registration or a deposit, we said you give us money only for this. And then we built something called performance marketing model over here, where we said users are spending time, they are getting router coins. Can we tell them that we suggest this app to you? Will, if you download the app and use, we will give you coins. And therefore, we are building that user base or whatever. It started to do very well for us. Within 4 or 5 months, from 50,000, let's take an example. We started with 500 installs a day. Okay, in this. Okay. In August, we did nearly 5 lakh or 500,000 installs. We gave 500,000 installs to 45 companies who worked with us. There is no app, which is a big app in India, which is not working with us in the performance marketing model. And we have found a model under which we have monetized each and every DAU to a very strong number. I don't want to give that number away right away, but you know what I'm saying, right? We are actually making, what it means is the more DAU we get, the more performance marketing revenue is. And we have found one of the most scalable models. We believe that in India, I don't know the exact number, but best to my estimation, close to about maybe anything between 15 to 20 million downloads must be happening in a month. I may be completely wrong, but my guess is that at least 10 million downloads of an app are happening every month. Okay, we are doing 500,000. No, actually, it must be very high. So we are doing 500,000 installs. Can we take it to 2 million installs? Can we take it to 5 million installs? By giving them an audience that they don't have. And that is where the community is getting monetized. So this was the second thing. Third is esports sponsorship and content marketing is huge. We are doing multiple IPs. We are doing multiple esports tournaments. Lots of brands are working with us. Last but not the least, the gifting economy that I talked to you about Twitch and all the platform, we have also launched that. We have launched a separate currency called Router Diamonds, which you can buy on the app. You cannot earn that. You can only buy it through the app. You can gift it to your creators. And we are building a marketplace over there. So we want to give you Router Diamond. We also want to be resellers of multiple gaming coupons so that you can buy it right then and here. And then we also want to tomorrow sell all the gaming products through our marketplace. So it is a user monetization marketplace. There'll be some bit of a subscription. There is esports content marketing. There is advertising. And currently, our most loved after revenue model and something which is scaling very well is performance marketing. All of this put together helps us make money, which we share with our creators, and that is how we are paying them.
This is absolutely fantastic. I love talking to founders who sort of take those experiments with monetization, learn from them, and figure out monetizable things. And the performance marketing thing, right? The biggest problem that all these B2C companies, the agencies that they work with, is there's fixed fee, there's budget, de do itna, there's all of that. But when it comes to ROI tracking and attribution on like where did that money go and what number of installs we got, it's always vague, right? Do influencer marketing. No, don't do it for installs. Do it for the brand awareness and all of that, right? But at the end of the day, a lot of young or growth stage companies want hardcore installs. And you, by saying that, hey, I don't want money for display, I don't want money for anything, let's just align our incentives completely so that the partnerships can be more long-term rather than transient, right? That's the other beautiful part, where the 45 companies that you work with, give and take 5, 10 here, a lot of these companies will just continuously keep working with you because you're just going to cut it.
29 brands are our repeat customers. And I just want to correct you one. We are not saying don't give us money for display. We also need money for display. We want to run your video ads. But I always tell so why is revenue very passionate to me is because that is something that I've taken on me and I have a small team and Dipesh has helped me build the entire tech around it. Dipesh is my co-founder. He's the one who's really literally running the product and running the growth and everything. But between us, we said, okay, I'll look after revenue while he's building the product excellently. The key thing here is that what I tell all the brands is you put your money on performance, okay? But build your brand's experience through display. And by display, I mean video ads. By doing sponsorship, sponsor a streamer, sponsor a segment on Router, sponsor a section on Router, run contests by doing it. And then once they know your product through different touch points on the app, you do performance marketing, right? You'll get a very good download. So there are a few apps which have done very well. It's very, very early days. Okay. I'm not even boasting about this being a very success story. The key thing is that there's a huge learning curve, right? We're learning every day. We have to invest in ad product tech. So we call it that. We have to build a product team who will actually build ad tech within the product. and actually do multiple things. There are multiple successful companies. InMobi is a great, great inspiration for us, the way they have done it. Paytm, I mean, they're one of our investors, and I'm not, you know, bringing them in here for no other reason, but it's a company that is very inspiring for us. I mean, being a fintech company, you can't even believe how good their ad tech model is, right? So these are the things that we want to learn while we continue to build the gaming community. We continue to build the next 1 million streamers. We also want to make money. It's very, very important, because there's nothing gives you more happiness than the fact that you are making revenue as a company, and we really want to stay on it.
I have a question about something you just said. You said that you want to build the gaming community in India. You want to build the next 1 billion streamers, right? A couple of years ago, I hired one guy for my business, and he was an older guy. He was in his 30s, but he had only 1 year of experience. I was like, why do you have only 1 year of experience? The reason was because he spent several years in the esports arena trying to become big in that. And he eventually came to the realization that there wasn't enough money. This was in the mid to early 2010s, right? And I recently again had a long chat with him, and he seemed very vitriolic about it. He was like, there's no money in this. There's never going to be any money in this. And he's very passionate, obviously, but he couldn't do it. How are you planning to build that gaming community in India? How are you planning to build that next 1 billion streamers? Because the India is still very traditional. A lot of people still come from, you know, middle-class families where they can't take that risk of going into that route of the creator economy, going to that route of gaming. How do you do that? How do you convince people's parents that, like, hey, get your son or daughter on my platform, they will do well?
So very interesting question. So 2-3 points here. Number one, I think the person you're referring to, I always believe in life. Okay, there's one learning in life which I never forget. I think I saw it in one of the videos long time back, and before I became an entrepreneur, okay? And then when I put that into my last 5 years, 5.5 years as an entrepreneur, I think it's the biggest learning. Companies succeed or fail not because they have money, the founder, idea, team, monetization, nothing. It's the timing. The timing of a product is most important. A company like YouTube came 2 years before YouTube, and nobody knows about it. And YouTube came, and it got acquired by YouTube, and it got... It's not about luck. Luck is there, but it's also about timing of the market. So I think that with that person, I think he was a little early in that. But let me bring in a point over here. Esports athletes have limited ways to make money at this stage. Okay. A few days back, I tweeted about it, that there's an esports company in Canada which has got a sponsorship a sponsorship contract for $220 million for a year. Okay. They are making close to $220 million for 10 years. My bad. $220 million for 10 years. Okay. They are making close to $20 million a year. How much was Nike paying India and Indian cricket team for the sponsorship of the jersey? It's less than $15 million. Okay. That's the difference. I'm just giving you a perspective of the number. But is every esports team managed to monetize to that extent? No. Okay. Because esports team needs sponsors. The prize money winning is a very long shot. Okay. Now there are multiple tournaments. They have a good team. You can go ahead and win it. But it takes a bit of a time. The key thing here is that they need sponsorship to build it. Just like any other sport. Why cricket transformed? Because they got sponsorship. And then they got broadcast. Similarly in esports. It will get changed because they'll get sponsorship and they'll get broadcast people like us. We'll pay them a lot of money to do, and we're already paying, and we'll eventually pay them a lot. Exactly how sports will change. But most of the esports teams now have streamers. This is a fact. You talk to any esports team, whether they are an esports player or not, but within their team, they will have people who are good streamers. And streamers are making money. Streamers are making money with them. We are working with multiple esports teams, and we want to work with all the esports teams in the country.
I was listening to this podcast with the CEO of Evil Geniuses. She's a very young lady, like 27 years old. And she was talking about how, like, streaming has become one of the foundations of Evil Geniuses. Evil Geniuses being a very old esports team.
Few months ago, and I came across this on YouTube because through my nephew, through my younger brother, I had somehow followed Mortal on YouTube, right? The PUBG player. A few months ago, and this is connecting back to what you said about esports and content creation going together. I saw these people, I don't know how to pronounce the name, it's SQAL, something like that, school or whatever. They bought a house in the middle of nowhere where they bought a full creator house, and 8-10 gaming streamers and creators are living there day in, day out, and they are creating content, they're playing esports, they're practicing, they have fancy cabins to play games and stuff like that. And as a millennial, I was just like, wait, what is happening? How are these people going to make money? And that's when I got curious about the economics of it, and I realized this is a perfect business to get into.
Yeah, and here is the thing, you have no idea what kind of, so I'll come to this question. It's basically called gaming house. The terminology is gaming house. Most of the esports team have something called gaming house. That is how they're building their communities. And the model is exactly what you said. It's a hostel model. Okay, they live there. They do everything through the day, and they are on the gaming throughout. And they are making multiple production houses and making multiple production of content, and they're doing it. All of us are doing it. It will become a norm. You will see gaming houses everywhere in the country 2 to 3 years from now. And people will actually graduate and join gaming houses and live there for 2 years and come out as a great gaming player. These are things which are going to happen. Okay. Now, coming back to the question that Sahil initially asked, the most of the people who are making money right now in this industry are actually people who are below 25. A 17-year-old makes 20, 30 lakhs a month. Okay. There are people who are so young who are making money, and we get multiple. I was in a place called Ramgarh ahead of Nainital in June. I was on a vacation, whatever it's called. I was working from there. I got an SMS from a parent in the morning, and he or she said, My son is into game streaming. He is a YouTuber, but he loves Router. He wants to join Router. Can you please take him? This was a message. I posted it on Twitter. Go on my Twitter. You will go to my June tweets. You will see the screenshot of that conversation. Okay. And I told her, I think, and I said that we cannot employ our child, but he can stream with us, and he can be a part of our creator economy or the creator program. And he actually joined that very day. A team onboarded, and he's still a creator over here. This is just one of the examples of how parents are supporting people left, right, and center. Trust me, they have. I was watching a video of this streamer called Kash. Okay, she's basically uploaded an amazing, amazing streamer. She's uploaded a video, I think 2-3 days back. Just look for her, you'll see. She's basically talked about the streaming industry. And she's mentioned it over there that when she started streaming, she's one of the better ones and I think one of the bigger ones in the country right now. She said, when I started streaming, my parents used to oppose it. Now they know that this is a career. Okay, I have left everything else. I'm just a streamer now. I make a lot of money. And she said, I want to make my career in making different kind of gaming content. So this is, I think what has not happened is that perhaps people will see. So the chances of why, you know, this thing about parents was when we were kids, or at least when I was a kid and there was no IPL, people used to say, you know, there are only 11 people playing cricket for India. Like, how will you make it over there, right? That's why none of us picked it. A lot of us could have become cricketers or footballers, but we said 11 people, how will we do it? There were no clubs, there were nothing, right? In today's day and age, if somebody picks up gaming or esports as a career, there are millions of opportunities. There is no just one team or no one streamer or whatever. I mean, everybody can become creator, and not just here, they can become a creator all around the world. You don't need a special hat, or you don't need a privilege to make this as a career, which is why parents will understand this better.
To be the devil's advocate here though, if my child was to become a creator, I would be like, the creator economy is very skewed. The top 1% make money. The bottom 99% don't make money.
Well, there is one thing which is getting redefined each and every time. Exactly how people used to speak about Bollywood maybe 15, 20 years back. Only the Khans of the market or whatever, they make money. Now everybody makes money. Everybody who's into showbiz business in Bombay at least drives a luxury car. I can bet they all own a house. Tell me one professional in Bombay who can own a house by the time they're 25, 30. No. It is these guys. And I look at everybody's life, and I'm sure they're not renting a luxury car, or they're not renting a house with a sea view. You look at their Instagram, right? How are they doing it? They're a part of a creator economy. Long time back, only Mr. Bachchan or a few other people used to have the privilege to buy a big house. Now, thanks to OTT, thanks to multiple other things that they do as influencers or whatever, all of them are making money. Exactly what will happen in gaming. I know 1% people make money is a data. But on our platform, 4.3% people are making money. Eventually, 10% people will make money. Eventually, 30-25% people will make money. And the people who don't make money doesn't mean they don't make money. They make less money. Right? And they can get into different brackets.
So I think where we are from an industry perspective is There is definite business model here. Like there is nobody in the world is now denying that this is not an option, and the fact that, and what you said. But with that said, I think we are extremely early still. I think there's the journey is still a while in terms of the magnitude of how big this can be. And the other thing that I wanted to sort of just add on to this becoming a career is one, the skill set required is not just being good at games, but you also have to be a performer in a way, because you're connecting with the audience while you're, you know, talking. You're talking about different stuff. You're also playing the game. So it is extremely hard work, first of all. Like it, when people say, hey, this was my, you know, Sahil was saying this was my dream as a kid. I am sure if you make him do it right now, he'll just be like, I'm not going to do this. This is extremely difficult, hard work. So one, you have to be good in order to make that money. And the byproduct of that is if you are a good performer and if your face is recognized, then the opportunities are beyond gaming also, right? Then you have an audience. Then you can do a lot more. And we've seen this in the YouTube economy, gamers becoming rappers. And their rap songs becoming extremely viral and stuff like that, right? So those opportunities will also open up.
Yeah. No, so great point. So 2-3 things. Number one, we have data, and data suggests very clearly streamers who have the face cam on get much better engagement. So we are basically our focus during the creator program is that we push more and more people to have face cam on. You are playing, there is an audio, nobody knows how you look. Doesn't make sense. You have to show your face. One thing. Secondly, you don't have to be a fashion or whatever, a fashionable gamer or anything. They don't care. The more bizarre you are, the more bizarre and the more authentic and the more entertaining you are, they love it. They don't care where you're streaming from. Okay. So this is one good thing about this community, that they value the authentic stuff more than anything else, due to lack of the word. Third, is the fact that audio plays a very important role. Like you need to have, at least you should be very extrovert. You cannot play if you're an introvert. I think that's something with everything in life here. I hardly think if you're an introvert, you can write a book. You can perhaps be a script writer. But if the career opportunities being an introvert are very few. You can be a tech guy if you're an introvert, or you can be whatever you can do. But if you're an extrovert, multiple opportunities open up, right? And that is where gaming also comes in. And last but not the least, I think the pressure on gamers is far less as compared to everything else that you do and create content in front of a camera. Okay, because their skill. It doesn't matter to Virat how he looks on a day, right? He's wearing a jersey, he's shaven, whether he is shaven or not shaven or whatever he's doing, doesn't care. What makes difference? He's standing there, he has an eye which people look through, and he's playing a certain thing. Exactly with gamers. They just look at how you are on that particular day and do it. It's not an easy thing to do. I mean, sometimes I look and say, to do this 3 hours every day in a live environment, you don't know how your mood is, whether you're happy, you're sad, you're anxious. You still have to go ahead and perform, right? Because not just for a platform like us, it's also for your audience, right? And that is where the pressure is. So hats off to each and every gamer who's into this, who's making a career here or as an esports athlete, and really, really believe that if we, me, Dipesh, all entire team members, if we can play a role in them making a career out of it, it will be fantastic. We'll feel we have been part of something big that's going to happen in India.
Just to close out and address Sahil's point about the money that people will make, if you look at the tech industry, right, if you look at the techies, if you do that mapping also, you'll probably realize top 10% of the people make 50, 60, 70% of the money. But does that mean that it is not a viable career option for millions of people? I think that's what's going to happen with probably not at that scale, maybe. But in some sense, that's going to be replicated. There are going to be big gamers that are going to make tons of money, but also, you know, mid-level gamers that are going to make a decent living out of it.
One thing I've learned about life, which is very, very important, okay, and being I also come from a very humble background, and I've seen this through my life, that anything that gives opportunity beyond the norms of the society, okay, is very, very big. Okay, we have seen multiple people who come from such humble background. They are living in smaller towns, smaller cities, and they're making money. They're making money more than their father, who's a banker. Okay, this guy is making money from West Bengal. He's a streamer. He's making more money right now than his father, who's been working for the last 20, 25 years in a bank. What else do you need to get convinced that there is not just an industry or an entertainment category getting built? There are careers getting built here. And these are real careers with as in recurring income or whatever, and it only goes up.
Just to add, I was reading this. A small town in Tamil Nadu, a doctor actually became a streamer, I think, on the Router platform, if I'm not wrong.
PBS Gaming. Yeah. He was with us for 18 months. Yeah. He's a doctor. So he goes to hospital for 6 hours every day. Huh? He has an arrangement with his hospital that I am a gamer. I cannot spare my evenings. So if I'm not wrong, he goes to his hospital at 8 o'clock in the morning or whenever. He comes back after 6-7 hours, and then he's a gamer for the rest of the day. Amazing guy. I mean, I'm a huge fan of people like him. This is what is happening. You need 2 hours. You can do your normal professional corporate career in the day and come back and be the gamer in the night. What stops you from doing it?
And I was right before this when I was researching any sports, if it has reached the level where the US universities are going to invest money in building teams. Ohio State invested $10 million in their esports setup and to build that esports team, right? Michigan spent like a $2.5 million or $25 million, something like that, to build their esports team and stuff like that. So massive money, basically adding another sport. It's almost like adding another sport, and within that, like variety of like League of Legends and Warcraft and whatnot.
You know, I personally believe that one of the things that I'm not happy about IPL being a fan is the fact that it is only a 50-day drama. Okay. People, that is why IPL never succeeded as a merchandise business. That is why they never succeeded as community. That is why nobody, I mean, besides few handful of people who say they are a CSK fan because of Dhoni or whatever, there is no madness like a football club, me wearing a jersey. Why is it that? Because nobody has built an IPL story beyond the final of IPL, which in this year would happen on 15th. After that, till the next IPL or whatever, nobody will talk about it. I sincerely believe that if IPL teams pick up an esports team and they invest in it, and all of them ensure 8 teams, not cricket, play anything. There is a Mumbai Indians PUBG team, BGMI team, and they play throughout. People would love to do it. They can get these cross-category things happening or whatever. I mean, we can't solve all the problems in the industry right now, but if I can suggest and somebody can do it, I think they should do it today and say that by next IPL, we'll have an esports team which will play after the tournament gets over.
Okay. I have something interesting to add over here. F1, a big subsection of F1 has become the F1 simulator games. A lot of the drivers, especially the younger drivers, when they're not on track, they're playing the F1 simulator as Twitch streamers and NFL as well. One of the biggest F1 drivers in the world right now, Lando Norris, he's a huge streamer. All of them, they do a lot of F1 streaming. So yeah, there's no reason why cricket can't do the same thing.
Yeah, but a problem, you know, there's one problem. Nobody in the world has made a good cricket game. I've been on this planet for so long, and I think besides stick cricket, you know, it's not a, there is still a stick cricket. Same game is available 20 years back, 20 years now. Okay, I still play on my mobile. But it doesn't have one version which I used to love. So stick cricket had a version where two people can play and do bowling and batting both. Okay, that they removed bowling for some reason, which took away the fun. It is all about random hitting, which meant they simplified their algorithm. And that meant that the newness went after a certain time. You realize you played this shot maybe one minute back or 2 hours back. The problem with cricket is nobody has made a good game. And this is such a one of the biggest or most watched sport in the world. And nobody has made a good game. And people are okay with it.
People are okay with it because the problem is the cricket boards don't know how to take the game to the world. One, you need a lot more countries, right? The problem is most of the users come from the Southeast Asia. And all these big publishers are sitting in the North America, right? They're like, who's going to make it? EA Sports took a stab one or two. They probably do it every 2-3 years. They start take a stab at it. But because the Southeast Asian consumer is not going to pay the $50-$60. So
if somebody decides that next 3 years, we'll do 50,000 things. We'll do 2 new teams in IPL. We'll do new broadcast rights. Everything is okay. But we'll go to a publisher and say, dude, here is 10, 15, 20, 100 million, whatever you need. make a game that nobody has seen in this world. Okay. Redo the format. We don't need 20 overs and therefore people need 4 hours. Do a 5-over format, but make it like they're sitting in a stadium and there are fans or whatever. It will change the gaming industry in India. I'm telling you, if with this first person shooter category, somebody brings in a cricket game, almost every Indian will play some games.
Piyush, this was one of the better episodes that we've done, just purely basis the clarity of thought that you have and the conviction that you have behind this industry, right? I absolutely love how you've broke down the entire industry. And I think we've finally, I was fairly convinced about this industry, but I think just the way you've structured it probably convinced Sahil. So he might go back to his friend and say, now is the time, go back into the esports industry.
No, he's my salesman now. I cannot lose my salesman.
Never lose a salesman, yeah.
I'll keep telling him, no, this is a terrible industry, don't do this.
Yeah, no, I have to say thank you so much. It wasn't, you know, very rarely you come across, I didn't prepare for it. I speak about Router or I speak about gaming or esports all through the day. I think with two of you, it was a very interesting discussion because we had a lot of heart into it. You know, we could empathize with the people who are into this industry. We have played a bit of it here and there. We are a sports fan. That's why we wanted a cricket game. And I think that is the best part about being in a discussion like this, that you are with people who have a lot of heart into the discussion. It's not something that we are doing it to record or make something, right? So, and you guys are extremely good at it. So thank you so much for making me a part of it. And I hope everybody listening to it also loves it.
They will, I'm sure. Thank you so much, Piyush.